Amen. We will never forget the politicians that allowed Israel to displace and murder hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. And while we're standing here, the cops continue to help prop up Israel by not allowing us anywhere near Joe Biden.
Mentioned Biden, Schakowsky, and Kasten, whose hearts are dead.
Holding their dead parents, yet they won't even do the bare minimum of signing on to Congresswoman Cori Bush's House resolution, calling for an end to Israel's bombing, war crimes, and genocide against Palestinians.
I'd say there's well over 1,000 people here right now, maybe 1,500, and it's growing.
USPCN. We shut down Schakowsky's office. We shut down Kasten's office. And we
shut them down. Shut them down.
We will continue these advanced actions and civil disobediences until they and all other legislators, including Genocide Joe, force Israel to stop their murderous rampage. Why? Why should we care about something as ridiculous as their election when they don't care about something as serious as our murders? That these elected officials have fully endorsed the genocide against our people. It is these Congress people who vote to send more money to Israel.
Genocide.
It is these Congress people who send more bombs to Israel. It is these Congress people with blood on their hands.
That ain't right.
Shame on you.
Shut shit down. We are going to continue to
one of the most important immigrant rights coalitions in the country. Please welcome Miguel.
My name is Miguel. I am an organizer with Organized Communities Against Deportations, and I'm here to express our solidarity with our Palestinian comrades fighting for liberation. Today, Biden is in town, and we're here to say enough is enough. Ya basta. You're not welcome in our city. We reject your imperialist agenda. We reject your funding and unfettered support for racist state of Israel. We reject your hypocrisy. We reject your lies. As colonized people from Abya Yala that were forced to migrate from their home countries for different reasons, we know from our historical memory that the United States and Israel are united in their joint mission of ravaging the world with oppression, with arms and bombs, with torture, with death. Israel has a long history of arming and training police and military forces in Latin America, including Colombia, Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, and the list goes on. They equip repressive governments with technology like the Pegasus software to surveil or organize communities like our Palestinian relatives are fighting for land and self-determination. The U.S. has also a long history of attacking and destabilizing nations that seek to break free from their oppressor shackles. From supporting coups in socialist leaders like Chile and Nicaragua, to funneling arms in Mexico, which end up in the hands of drug cartels, to the economic sanctions that hurt the people of Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua. The U.S. and Israel are the ones creating the conditions that drive waves of forced migration throughout the entire continent and beyond. And now Biden is here repeating his Zionist lies. We say no, not in our city, not in our names, not with our money. We reject his most recent request of $100 billion that will go towards more war, more death, more displacement and dispossession. Those funds would add $14 billion to the annual $4 billion designated to continue the slaughter of Palestinians. We reject this funding request, and at the same time, it increases border militarization, detention centers, and facilitates the deportation of our undocumented people across the country. We reject the U.S. Empire's push to export destruction and death everywhere. Today we also honor our hope. We are here to continue learning from the Palestinian people how to struggle in the face of imminent death. You are all teaching us how to grieve and move with dignity in the face of overwhelming and growing pain. Millions of people are rising up all over the world to demand a ceasefire, to demand an end to the occupation, to demand a free Palestine, from Metula to Eilat, from Jericho to Jaffa. In recent weeks, 8 countries have recalled their ambassadors to Israel, including 3 Latin American countries. Honduras, Colombia, Chile, and our indigenous relatives of the plurinational state of Bolivia have severed all diplomatic ties relations with the genocidal state of Israel. Teachers,
the crowd unions, continues to grow
all over the world are disrupting everyday life to be in solidarity with Palestine. The question
of the close to 300 heads, I estimate, in my view, the vast majority are 30 years and under.
So repeat after me. De norte a sur.
De norte a sur.
De este a oeste.
De este a oeste.
Palestina será libre.
Palestina será libre.
Cueste lo que cueste.
Cueste lo que cueste.
Free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Viva Palestina!
Viva Palestina!
Viva Palestina! Oregon. The people united will never be defeated.
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 So my voice is a little bit gone. Please excuse me. The reason why my voice is gone and the reason why I'm this late right now when I was supposed to be here an hour and a half ago is because I came from Belvidere, Illinois, where we were just outside Joe Biden. We were just outside Genocide Joe's speech, outside of an event that he was at. And you know what he did when he saw us? As the cars passed by, he pointed and smiled as if we weren't screaming, Genocide Joe!
Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe!
And so you know how, whether it's in Belvidere, Illinois, or right here in Westtown, Joe Biden is not welcome anywhere in Illinois, not on our watch! Next up, we have a member of the National Alliance, one of the seven protesters who was arrested demanding Congresswoman Jen Schakowsky to stop Israel's genocide on Gaza. Please help me welcome Mirawi.
And I'm a leader within the Chicago chapter of the National Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. This past weekend, we had our 50-year anniversary conference, where hundreds of organizers from around our chapters and affiliate organizations around the United States came over, and we spent the weekend learning about the various movements that our comrades are engaged in, from the struggle against police crimes, immigrant rights, women's and LGBTQ liberation, to mass incarceration and the fight to free our political prisoners and protect the Tampa Five. And crucially, we examine how each and every one of those struggles is connected to the struggle for Palestinian liberation. And one thing they all have in common is repression. So let's talk about repression. What is repression? Where does repression come from? Does it just fall out of the sky? No. Do some politicians and CEOs wake up one day and decide they're going to repress us out of nowhere? No. Repression is a reaction to our revolutionary activity. Repression is when they wake up and look outside their windows and see us on the news, outside of their house, organizing our community successfully against them. And that's when they take off their gloves and use racist and political repression to beat the population back into line. They see us coming to hold the president accountable for genocide, and they send the pigs, don't they? The pigs, the cutting edge of repression to get in our way. When people can't pay rent, who comes to evict them? The pigs. When refugees try to come here to the U.S. because the U.S. has destroyed their homeland, who's there to meet them and brutalize them at the border and separate them from their families? The pigs. So we see the critical importance of the struggle for community control of the police, a struggle in which Chicago leads the nation. Once we bring them under control of the people, they would never be able to treat us the way they're doing right now. How else do they repress us? How else do they repress us other than with the police? They do it by firing people from their jobs, by outlawing organizations from campuses, from doxing people who speak out, destroying careers, and outlawing certain kinds of protests, certain kinds of speech, and as we see happening in Israel today, even outlawing certain kinds of thought, labeling people terrorists and jailing them for the posts they like and the content they read. Shame!
Shame!
But these separations These corporations must face swift repercussions when they retaliate against our people. Every time someone is fired for speaking out, the companies must be exposed and pressured and boycotted relentlessly. Their repression must come at great cost to them. You know how every time there's a video of a Karen somewhere in the world being racist, the first thing you do is go to the comment section to see if she got fired yet? That's the type of energy we need when you hear about somebody being repressed for speaking out on Palestine. They want to make examples out of us, but we will make examples out of them. We know why they're repressing us. They're doing it because they're losing. Period. They are losing. Despite committing genocide against civilians, they're losing on the ground in Gaza, facing a united Palestinian people, and they're losing across the planet, facing an educated and unified resistance. The funny thing is, they thought they had invested enough money into controlling the narrative. They thought they could really gaslight 7 billion people, but their arrogance backfired in their faces. They found that there's not enough money in the universe to stop us from standing in solidarity with Palestinians. And as they scramble to regain control over the narrative, they continue to make mistakes that they will never, ever, ever recover from. Genocide Joe, aka Obama 2.0, and the Democrats have forever been exposed as genocidal profit over everything enemies of peace-loving people. Even Bernie Sanders has exposed himself as being a facilitator of genocide. Never in my life have I seen the line between us and them drawn in the sand with such clarity. And as they must face the repercussions of their genocidal actions. Not only will they feel our wrath today, they will feel it in a year from now when we march against the Democratic National Convention here in Chicago.
Yes,
the pigs is messing with the connection. And inshallah, one day they will pay for their crimes against humanity in international criminal courts controlled by real representatives of the people. The United States Empire is fully exposed, isolated on the world stage as the greatest obstacle to world peace. And they are wobbling now that the Palestinians, in their struggle for liberation, are kicking out one of the legs of their stool. But the more they wobble, the more we throw them off balance, the more they resort to their tools of repression. Their greatest weapon against us is division. Let me say that again. Their greatest weapon against us is division. They will try to divide by race, by gender, by religion, and anything else that they can think of. But if their greatest weapon against us is division, what is our greatest weapon against them?
Unity!
Another way to ask the same question is, why are we winning? And the answer is solidarity. Like Fred Hampton said, do we fight racism with more racism?
No!
No! How do we fight racist division?
Solidarity!
How do we fight sexist division?
Solidarity!
How do we fight national division?
Solidarity!
How do we fight colonialism?
Solidarity!
How do we fight U.S. imperialism?
Solidarity!
How will we defeat Zionism once and for all?
Solidarity!
And how will we bring about Palestinian liberation and the liberation of all oppressed people in our lifetimes?
Solidarity!
Solidarity now, solidarity in the future, solidarity forever. From the river to the sea!
Free!
Biden, what's the deal?
Don't you know that deaths are real?
Biden,
is 13-year-old son, Salma Al-Ghul, who lost over 60 members in a genocide in Gaza. Over 60 family members in a genocide in Gaza.
Shame.
She is here to give a statement on behalf of the people of Gaza.
Shame.
Please welcome Salma Al-Ghul.
Hello, everyone. My name is Salma Nadir Al-Ghul. I'm in 7th grade, and I'm a Palestinian-American. Okay. I would like to start with the fact that I'm still seeing this happening. Ever since I was a little girl, I've been seeing my people being persecuted by the Israeli occupation forces. I remember being 8 or 9 years old and crying because it was absolutely terrifying seeing these dead Palestinian children wrapped in our flag. I remember saying it was scary to see kids like me being killed while I was in my nice American home. Sometimes I think what it would be like to be in their place, and it makes my heart hurt physically. 60 of my family members were killed in the recent massacres in Gaza, 40 in one airstrike. 60 people from my family, and they're all gone. They said the old will die and the young will forget. I'm young and I haven't forgotten. I will never forget seeing children younger than me laying bloodied on floors of hospitals. I won't forget seeing ice cream trucks once used for treats to help children smile used to store bodies. I won't forget seeing parents mourning and sobbing because their children are gone. I won't forget the fact that they are using Gaza as a testing ground for new bombs and chemicals. I won't forget the traumatized little boy covered in rubble who started crying when a doctor hugged him. I won't forget the boy with the cast who cried because he couldn't save his brother who was screaming out for him and eventually couldn't scream anymore because of the rocks in his mouth. I'm not going to forget how our government is standing idly by and donating billions of dollars to the killing of Gazans. I won't forget how so many politicians, including many here in Illinois, are choosing not to defend the lives of innocent Palestinian children in Gaza. I want my parents to pay taxes and I can't have free schooling and we can't help the homeless here, but we can send weapons to kill Palestinians. I won't forget the fact that there is no food and water in Gaza. I won't forget how Gaza is mainly made up of children. I won't forget how almost 11,000 people were killed. I won't forget about the 4,000 plus children killed in those numbers. I won't forget the over 3,000 people missing, either dead or trapped under the rubble, or the over 25,000 reported injuries. I won't forget the humanitarian crisis going on in Gaza. I won't forget the third of hospitals shut down and the two-thirds of primary health shut down. I won't forget that there's only one Palestinian in Congress, and more racist representatives can say that they can turn Gaza into a parking lot. Palestinian Rashid Al-Khalid is the only one who can it. I will never forget any of this. I will never forget Palestine. Under siege with no electricity or water, and they're dying by the thousands. We cannot forget the ones who stood by and let this happen, saying it's too complicated to speak about. Trust me, if a 7th grader can come up with an intelligent and educated position on this, every adult supposedly leading our country and our world can do it too. I would like to end this with a quote from Kwame Ture, a civil rights movement activist. You can have injustice and have peace. You can have peace and still be enslaved. So peace is not the answer. Liberation is the answer.
Intifada revolution!
being paid an undesirable visit. President Biden is in our backyard. Allow us to remind you, Biden, that you are undeniably, beyond a doubt, unwelcome into our community. Your complacency of Israel's war crimes have left detrimental ramifications on our communities that we promise you we will never forget.
Never!
It is time to sensitize yourself to this reality of the situation. Biden, you are on the wrong side! We will make sure to tell them, not only did you fund our genocide, but you indulged in it.
Genocide too!
You are here to attempt to appeal to your presidential campaign. Let us remind you that your presidency was not was only made possible with the vote of the people. Woo! We the people will remember come this November. We will remember the hateful rhetoric you spewed that denied Bashir the right to be Palestinian in the so-called land of the free. We will remember you publicly doubting the number of Palestinian lives stolen in Gaza, the number of lives gone in which are the number of lives gone in which you publicly doubted are our mothers, fathers, children, grandparents, our people. Blood is on your hands now, and come time to submit our ballots this November, blood will still be on your hands. You are clearly aware of the power that numbers hold, so remember that our number of votes will reflect your lack of regard for our people. We will never forget the 10,000 plus Palestinian martyrs, but we will remember your atrocities in November. We demand an immediate ceasefire and an end to all U.S. backing of white supremacist state Israel. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
This November we'll remember.
This November we'll remember.
This November we'll remember.
This November we'll remember.
Director of Islamic Center of Naperville. Please welcome Omar Hadrouz.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 10,812. 3 hours ago, that was the number of Palestinians in Gaza who were slaughtered, who were killed by the bombs that this country pays for. 10,812. That is not just a number, my brothers and sisters. That is the story. Every single one of those 10,812, they had families, they had hopes, they had dreams. Every single one of those 10,812 were mothers and fathers. They were brothers and sisters. They were grandparents. They were children. They are not just numbers. Those are our brothers and sisters. There are from amongst them, they had dreams. But there were some, and I want you to think about this, who were young to the point that they couldn't even have a dream. 1 day old, 2 days old, 1 month old, robbed of the opportunity to even have hopes and dreams. And so we stand here today to be an extension of their hopes and of their dreams, to tell everyone that it is never okay, to tell Joe Biden, who is there behind us, that it is never okay to bomb indiscriminately, that it is never okay to bomb hospitals, that it is never okay to bomb schools, that it is never okay to bomb the homes of the innocent, that it is never okay for people to have to write their names on their arms. so that when they are killed, they could be identified as human beings. That is never okay. And so today, we stand here today as representatives of the ones whose voices have been muted, have been taken away, and we amplify their voices. We amplify their hopes. We amplify their dreams. And we will say to them, thank you to the people of Gaza. Thank you for showing us what resilience means. Thank you for showing us what courage means. Thank you for showing us what it means to stand up against all odds to oppression, to stand up against all odds for justice and for truth, even when the entire world seems to have turned their back, that they showed us what it means to stand up for truth. And we say to them, I don't know if my voice will reach to them. I hope it reaches maybe even one of them. But we will say to them, thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for giving us hope, for giving us courage. And we will say, thank you for never giving up. And so we will never give up. And we will never give up. As much as we can, we will never give up. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
End the siege on Gaza now!
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 We will never be quiet until that happens. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Tradition. First off, I just want to introduce myself again. My name is Aris Salim. I serve as the Muslim chaplain at UIC. Privileged to be asked to offer dua, to offer prayer here with you, to be able to affirm the humanity of children, innocent people that are dying, to affirm the humanity of a people that have been oppressed, whose lands have been occupied for decades while humanity has turned away. This is nothing short of a privilege. I thank SJP UIC in particular for inviting me. I enter this diverse group of people, this diverse body, in my own skin. And that is the skin of a Muslim. And when I mean skin, I mean the soul of a Muslim, a person of faith. So when I offer this prayer, I'm going to do so from that place. But while I'm naming my own positionality, I also invite each and every one of you who has come out to stand up for truth to participate as you feel comfortable, at your level of comfort. I will begin by reciting the first chapter of the Quran, Al-Fatiha, in Arabic. Then we'll proceed to a prayer in English. And once I conclude that, I will leave a moment of silence, perhaps 2 minutes of silence, for each of us to connect to what is sacred to us in a way that's genuine to you. Right? So let's begin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Amin. Ya Allah. O Allah, O God, we come to you hurt. We come to you in pain, overwhelmed by the suffering of our brothers and sisters, of our kin in Palestine. We come to you in need, feeling helpless and powerless at not being able to stop what you have called on us to stop. Ya Allah,
To you belongs the heavens and the earth and all that is between them. You provide and you withhold. You exalt and you disgrace. You raise and you lower. You hear our prayers and see our condition. O you who are ever close to the oppressed, O you who are ever close to the oppressed, we ask you to lift the oppression from the people of Palestine. We ask you to protect them. We ask you to have mercy on them. We ask you to calm their fears. We ask you, Ya Allah, to cure their sick. Ya Rab, to heal their wounded. Ya Allah, we ask you to pour upon them tranquility, steadfastness, and courage. We ask you to answer their prayers, to grant them the freedom and dignified existence they long for and we long for. Ya Allah, Ya Rab, we ask you to reunite their families in the garden of paradise. To you reunite the children with their parents and the parents with their children in the garden. Oh God, we ask you, as those enjoying the temporary power, wealth, and privilege of this world, continue to turn their backs on the suffering of the Palestinians. We ask you, oh God, not to count us amongst them. We ask you not to count us amongst those who turn away, amongst those who have dead hearts, who are living corpses. We ask you, Ya Allah, do not count us amongst the oppressors. Do not count us amongst the complicit. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant them victory over their arrogant enemies and oppressors there and ours here. We ask you, Ya Allah, to foil the plots of the oppressors. Hold back their hands from their oppression and render their plans harmless. Ya Allah, we ask you to liberate the people of Palestine. We ask you to liberate Al-Aqsa and restore it to a place of sanctuary and safety for all who call on you. Ya Allah, we ask you to enable us to play our parts and our roles in the various capacities and gifts and strengths you've given us, and to never forget, and to enable us to continue this long after some of us forget. Oh Allah, we ask you this in knowing that you hear our calls and our prayers. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Ameen ya rabbal alameen.
Ameen.
And now open. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
I leave space now, at least a minute, for each of you out here in this crowd to connect with the sacred as you feel, as is genuine for you, to pray for the people of Palestine, to pray for the oppressed people of the world.
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free